Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are listening to Radio Islam International, and welcome to the program Family Health Matters. I'm your hostess, Zeenat. And first up this afternoon is health news. And today on health news, we're going to be talking to Sister Rashida Chetam and also Sister Munira. Sister Rashida is the manager at the Crescent Haven Orphanage in Indonesia, and Sister Munira is a social worker. And what we are going to be talking about today is the market day that's happening. Well, we'll find out all about that in a little while. That will be followed by the growing child, and in this slot we're discussing pregnancy, nursing, and the month of Ramadan. My guest will be Sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister. And a reminder to our listeners, if you have any questions or concerns with regards, you know, your pregnancy, nursing mothers, breastfeeding mothers, please remember you can call us on the number 011-854-1548, and you can also SMS me on the number 082-84-92-786. So first up, like we said, we have Sister Rashida with us and Sister Munira with us, both in the studio. Assalamu alaikum, jazakallahu khair for joining us this afternoon.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Okay, now the Crescent Haven Orphanage is here in Indonesia, alhamdulillah. How long has this place been in existence?
We're in existence for many, many years. We opened our doors in November 1992.
Alhamdulillah. So that's many, many years already.
Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah. And, you know, how many children do you have at the orphanage?
Crescent Haven is a registered home. We registered for 24 children. At this moment in time, we've got 18. So at any given time, we can have 24 children.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, now apparently you're having the market day coming up very soon. Is it this weekend?
Yes, it's on the 21st mm-hmm. of May, this coming Saturday. It's the very first time that we're having a fundraiser of this nature. Normally we have our spring pamper functions, and I think the public is quite aware of a lot of the other functions we have. We used to have the Mahalis train function. This time we're having a very intimate market day at the children's home at 37 Poppy Street, and we're asking the public to come in, to come and join the Crescent Haven family, to meet our children, to meet the staff, to meet management. The children has prepared a lot of crafts. The children, staff and volunteers has assisted in making lovely things. So we want the public to come and view what the children have made and support Crescent Haven.
Alhamdulillah. Munira, what are some of the activities that are planned specifically for that day? And you mentioned quite a few, but are there any other activities?
In fact, we are going to be having a tea or coffee garden, and then there will be a sale of biryani, and there's going to be an art corner, and that's going to be lots of fun for the kids. So we welcome or encourage all the parents to bring the children through, and we're also going to be having the sale of our crafts, which, like Sister Rashida had mentioned, our staff and children and volunteers had engaged in. So we've got some lovely things that would be there for our public to view and to buy. And we will also be having sale of plants, veggies, as well as for the more discerning women, the body scrubs and hand lotions and body lotions. That's all handmade.
Okay. Are you getting any special people coming in for that day, you know?
Yeah, I think, like Sister Munira mentioned, the art corner, but the exciting thing for me is the wall art. We're getting artists coming to assist us and teach art, wall art. We're going to be painting Crescent Haven walls. So everybody's welcome. It's going to be a lot of fun for children, adults, whoever's got a flair for painting. Please come along and you'll get the opportunity to do some paintwork, some artwork. For me, that's going to be very, very exciting. I think it's something very different that Crescent Haven is offering. I think that's why. And we have got a guest speaker, but that's a surprise at this moment. So, inshallah, we will have somebody, saying a few things. And we'll have some nizams and things like that. So, yeah, it's a day full of fun.
And activities. Okay. What about food? You know, that's something that everybody looks forward to. So
lots of biryani and samosas and Vienna rolls for the kiddies and lots of things. We will be serving the tea and coffee free for whoever wants to have a bite, and they can have the coffee and tea. We'll serve that free.
So basically, what is the purpose really of having this market day for the Crescent Haven Orphanage?
I think for me it's a dual purpose, to raise funds. It's number one. The second thing is we always have functions out. Mm-hmm. And the public, a lot of people don't know Crescent Haven, or they don't know what happens at Crescent Haven and how we operate. So I think it's an opportunity for people to come in, see the kiddies, see how the place looks, how we operate, and maybe get a better understanding of the Crescent Haven family. We call it the Crescent Haven family because the members, the staff, and our children, our volunteers that are regular volunteers, we like a family there. So we would like people to come in and join and be part of the family.
Now, you talk about the staff and the volunteers. Can you tell us a little about them? How many staff members do you have there? And the volunteers, what do they actually come to do?
We've got volunteers that come for to tutor the children. We've got volunteers that come in and help the children, assist with the homework, and prepare them for exams. We've got volunteers that come and do life skills with the kiddies. Then we've got volunteers that come and play with the little ones. It's just what they want to do. So we have a special form that we use when they say they want to do volunteer their services. We ask them what would they like to do. We had a lady in the holidays that volunteered to come and show the kids to make donuts and pancake, and they thoroughly enjoyed it, and they now can make pancakes and donuts. So we're asking the public, come along, be part of the family, assist, and I think when you leave there, you really feel good that mm-hmm. you've done something.
Yes, and especially done something for, somebody that really needs it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Munira, what... Now, you mentioned you have quite a few children at the home right now. Now, what age groups are there?
Okay, we've got from a six-month-old baby going up to 18-year-old adolescent. So, and in between we have our 13, 14-year-olds. And at the moment we've got quite a few 5 and 6-year-olds as well. Our toddlers, that's 2.5, 3 as well. So we normally admit children from birth to going up to 15 years. So at the moment that is what our age range is.
Okay. Now, for the benefit of our listeners and myself too, of course, what is the process for admitting children, orphans to the orphanage?
So, Suzanne, we don't only have orphans. Hmm. We have abandoned, orphan, destitute, abused children. So we've got different categories.
Uh-huh.
Crescent Haven is a registered home, like I mentioned earlier. So all the kids come through court. They have to come through social services. We can't just take kids off the street. So if you see the neighbor or somebody's abandoning has abandoned a child or maybe abusing a child, you report it and they will do a full investigation. The child will then be removed, taken to court, and then will come through to Crescent Haven. So all Crescent Haven kids come through court.
Okay.
So it's a long process.
Mm-hmm. As a social worker, Munira, what is your role at the Crescent Haven?
Well, basically it's to deal with the admissions, to liaise with the referring agency social workers, and then we have ongoing therapeutic programs, developmental programs, and recreational programs for the children. It's doing stats for department. It's doing a whole lot of other therapeutic work, counseling, referrals, and engaging in with the emotional healing of the children. But it's not an individual effort, it's always a team effort. Even though as a social worker you engage in that, but ultimately the entire team is responsible for the positive development and growth of a child.
Mm-hmm.
So we always work together.
Alhamdulillah. And are you there too? You know, every day of the week, or do you have to come in at certain days?
No, no, that's every day from 8 to 4.
Full
sometimes,
time?
Yes, full time. Sometimes it goes beyond those hours.
Mm-hmm.
And alhamdulillah, it's very rewarding, but also at the same time, quite emotionally taxing as well.
I can imagine. So, Tarashida, you've been with the Crescent Haven Orphanage for many years. In fact, ever since I remember, you've been there. And you also have this full-time job every day.
Yes, yes, I have a full-time job. But fortunately, I don't work as long hours as Munira. She said she works from 8 to 4, but I think every day she works beyond that time. When I leave the office, Munira would still be there and still be counseling the kids and all that. So she really, we're very fortunate to have such a committed social worker. She works, I think, almost every day till 5:30, 5:30. And we really appreciate that. My job basically is to oversee the smooth running of the home, you know, that everything is in place. And like Munira said, yeah, it's a team effort. Our care workers, ourselves, have to do things together to make it work. Yeah, it's very challenging, it's very draining. I think when people think of an orphanage, you say, ah, it's just four walls and children there. But if you really come there and spend a day or maybe a week with us, you'll sometimes wonder how we survive. It's quite
I can imagine
challenging.
Yes, it must be. There was something I was going to ask you now, but okay, you were talking about the staff members. Apart from the two of you, who else do you have?
We have five child care workers that work on a shift basis. The one shift starts at 8 in the morning and finishes off at 4 in the afternoon. The next lot comes in at 4 in the afternoon and works till the next morning, 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got a laundry lady, we've got a domestic, and then we've got another lady that assists with the babies. Because for the first time at Crescent Haven, we've got five babies.
Oh, man.
The six-year-old, and we've got a year and a half, then we've got two years, 18 months. So they all in, you know, they're young, so we needed to employ another help. So we've got six ladies and two, you know, the domestic and the laundry lady, and myself and Munira.
Alhamdulillah. Allah reward you for all the, you know, for all the things and all the effort that you are actually putting into seeing to these children, alhamdulillah. Yes, just to end off now, just another thing before we ask you that last question is, what are some of the needs of the children that maybe the public can help with?
The needs, really, we need people to come in and assist. Like we were saying, you know, the volunteers. We have some very good volunteers that's volunteered for many years. But obviously some of them at some stage need to move on or have left school and have to go to varsity, so the time isn't there. So every time we keep on needing a lot of people to come in and assist with the homework supervision and the tuition. I think basically we need more people to come in and assist.
Mm. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah. And if anybody obviously is interested, they can always contact the Crescent Haven.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so finally, just maybe for those that didn't hear earlier, didn't get to the program earlier, when is this market day? What time is it starting? Just a quick recap on all those details.
Okay, it's on Saturday, the 21st of May. That's this coming Saturday. Mm-hmm. We will be starting at 10 and try and finish up at 3:30 because it's Shabbat Barat, the 15th of Shaban. So we'll try and wrap up a bit early. But in that time, we want to maximize and really do a lot. Whatever we want to do, we want to get going, especially with the art and, you know, selling of the items. So people can walk in at any time, come in, you know, different times. They welcome from 10 to 3.
Okay. And your message, finally, for our listeners out there, what message would you people like to convey to our listeners out there?
I think to keep in touch with the home, come and see the children, the staff, Crescent Haven. We need your support, not only financially or in kind, but even in terms of human resource, your skills, your expertise. And another message I'd like to convey to the public is we really would like more families to be interested in holiday placements, hosting our children. That's another challenge that we have. We need to recruit families who can take children for holidays. So if there's anybody out there that's interested, they can always contact us at the home.
Okay, Jazakallah khair for that. Well, we do wish you all have a wonderful day, and everybody out there, hope everybody comes and joins in, inshallah. And yes, all the best for that day then. Thank you so much, Sister Rashida, Sister Munira, for joining us today on this program.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah for the opportunity, Sister Zinat.
Okay, and we hope to see you there, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, that was Sister Rashida Jetham from the Crescent Haven Orphanage, and of course also Sister Munira, who is a social worker there, and they're having this wonderful craft day or market day. It's on the 21st of May 2016. Everybody's welcome, and please bring the kids along. I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful day, and it will be great for the children out there as well. Well, when we return, inshallah, we will be speaking to Sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister, and today we're discussing pregnancy, nursing, and the month of Ramadan. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and yes, it's that time of the year again, Ramadan, alhamdulillah. Just about 20 odd days left before the month of Ramadan starts. Fasting during Ramadan is obligatory upon all able-bodied adults. So it's obligatory upon all of us. There are, however, just a few exceptions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and in the Holy Quran, in chapter 185, that's Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and whosoever is sick or is upon a journey, then the period is made up from other days. Well, women obviously who are pregnant or breastfeeding are included here and may opt not to fast. Every year, women request for information about fasting while pregnant or breastfeeding a baby. Pregnant mummies are always wondering if fasting will be harmful, you know, for them or for their babies. Will she, you know, these are just some of the questions that's always concerning them. Will I have enough energy? Will my labor start early? Will I or my baby lose weight, or will we get sick? And then breastfeeding mothers wonder, will I have enough milk for my baby? Will my health be affected? And they wonder how they can be sure to take care of their babies and themselves. They obviously ask all sorts of questions because, let's face it, mothers tend to worry. Now, joining me is Sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister. And yes, we're going to be talking about some of these very important questions. And also a reminder to our listeners that, you know, Sister Fatima is here with us in the studio. If perhaps you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. We also have an SMS number, which is 082-8492-786. Okay, so Sister Fatima, assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah khair for joining me. I know you were at the funeral, but alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair for joining us. We certainly do appreciate you coming in to do this program with us.
Walaikum salam, it's a pleasure.
Okay, now, the first question I'm going to ask you, Sister Fatima, and I'm sure this is a very common question every mother that's either breastfeeding or pregnant would be asking. Should a nursing mum or a pregnant woman really fast?
Zinat, it depends entirely on the mother's health in pregnancy and the mother's health and baby's health during breastfeeding.
So
with breastfeeding, it depends entirely on the mother. Some I know of mothers that breastfeed comfortably in Ramzan the whole month while breastfeeding, and baby is quite well. It depends entirely on your stature and how you feel. Now, feeling and health is very important both ways, with the baby and the mother. In breastfeeding, the mother obviously will feel well because she's now had the baby and now she's breastfeeding. But the other thing that you must take into consideration is that, is the milk going to be enough? Is the absorption of the breast through the mother's body sufficient for the baby's need? And if it is not, what you can see is, you see a happy baby and a healthy baby while breastfeeding. That's what you look for. But at the same time, you look for a healthy mother as well. It doesn't make sense that the baby is all well and getting enough nourishment and the mother's health goes down. So it depends on how much the body can take to produce the milk and keep well. And then fasting goes with it.
Okay, and what regards the pregnant women?
The pregnant woman, look, the first trimester, be careful. First trimester, you get the morning sickness, which is very uncomfortable. If you're going to fast, you're going to feel very miserable. Miserable is the word, because it gets you down, because you feel nauseous all the time. You get a headache. You don't feel well. You are debilitated. You know, it's just an uncomfortable feeling. If you have that feeling, then the only way you can get rid of it, we all know that the ones, you know, the pregnant mothers were, that the comfort there is that you eat something. It may be anything that just gives you the relief of the nausea. Some people just have bread, some have milk, some little bit of food or veg, anything.
But little meals.
Little meals that gives you this, or little biscuits when you get up in the morning, or a crust, bread crust like it. But if you feel that this is not happening to you, then of course if you fast, it's fine. But again, the pregnancy, the first 3 months is the important month, the first 12 weeks. Advisable, maybe, but I think no is the word that you're going to use. During the first 3 weeks, the baby grows the most. The mother feels the pregnancy the most at that time, because her whole body changes. She has sleepless nights, uncomfortable. Her body feels uncomfortable because she's now expanding. You don't feel well. You don't feel like eating because of the pressure on the stomach. Because you must remember, your whole body is displaced, your stomach is displaced, your lungs get displaced. And this uncomfortness can be a bit debilitating for the mother in the first 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. The comfortable time for pregnancy, I feel, is the second trimester.
Okay, we'll speak more about that in a little while. But you know, sometimes, Sister Fatima, many a times, people in the first few weeks of their pregnancy don't know that they are pregnant. And they can actually comfortably fast, you know, without knowing that they are pregnant. You know, there are many people that actually go through this, this first few weeks in their pregnancy. It's only later that they realize and I mean, the month of Ramadan is only 4 weeks. But like you said earlier, and like we all should know, is that every person is different.
This is what it is.
Yes, and I think what why I also brought up this program is that many a times, other people. It's something that you should be concerned about your own health and that of your baby. Many a times you would find family members or friends or somebody telling you, I could fast during Ramadan. You should also try to keep your fast. But the thing is, you should not worry about what another person says. Right now, it's your baby and your body and your health that is at stake.
Remember, I remember one of the family members, it's in your family, she had six, and she fasted right through all of them. I remember this very well because it was such an unusual thing for a mother doing your house chores, sing to the children, sing to the babies, the toddlers, and she used to fast comfortably and without any problem. And she used to give birth to normal, healthy children and breastfeed after that. Totally breastfeeding. So it depends on the person. It depends entirely on the person.
Yes, I think that is very important for us to remember that it's your health and your baby, and it's how your body feels. And we must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually given us permission, especially if you are breastfeeding, and if you are pregnant, and if there's if there is reason for you not to fast, then definitely, there's no sin in not fasting.
And there's another very important thing in pregnancy. The mother's emotions get passed on to the baby from the time the baby is born. I mean, from the time the baby is conceived, your emotions are passed on to the baby. And if you are going to be uncomfortable during the pregnancy, the nausea and feeling miserable, and if you're fasting, you're hungry and you don't feel like, you have to work, we have to do all these chores, and this gets passed on to the baby. And sometimes what happens is when the baby is born, you have a very irritated child, an irritable child, and it's not worth really going through a lot for, because for a healthy, normal baby, that's what we wish for. A normal, healthy baby, a comfortable mother where she can look after the baby. But if you have a very irritable child, it is very debilitating, especially during the daytime, at night, when you were, when you want to be comfortable, when you're sleeping and you have the baby that's nagging and crying. And this is what can happen when you pass your emotions on to the unborn child.
Okay, now with regards to pregnancy, you mentioned earlier, you said the safest period would be the third trimester. The second trimester. Why is that so? Why is that period the safest?
The first trimester is the conceiving and the getting used to, and the breast changes and the body changes and your displacement of your organs, and the baby now, there's now a life in you, and the discomfort of the mother, the discomfort of sleeping. So the first 12 weeks is the one where you find the most nausea, the vomiting is all in the first trimester, the 12 weeks. After 12, the second trimester, between the 12th and the 24th week, it's a very comfortable week. That's a time where you can perhaps fast comfortably.
But
because the body is now getting used to, the baby's growing comfortably inside, the mother's used to it, she's comfortable, she sleeps better in that time. She's not very, not very uncomfortable as far as the size of the pregnancy is in the second trimester.
Mm-hmm.
With the third trimester, of course, it's time the baby's going to be born. So it's a bit dangerous then. We don't want an early pregnancy, an early labor to come on. We don't want a premature baby to be born, so there you have to be careful.
Okay, so some of those myths with regards, I think I read them out earlier, is like, is it possible to go into early labor if you are fasting? Is that possible?
No, not early, not the fast. The fast doesn't affect that, but your body may affect it. Your health may affect it. And it depends on the health, the person's health. The most important part of a mother's health is the first trimester and the third trimester.
Okay.
So that's a part where you can have problems.
Okay.
So we don't want that to happen, where they'll have to bring on the baby too early, or early labor, or the premature birth and things like this.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zenith, and with me in the studio today is Sister Fatima Dawood, our community nursing sister, and we're talking about pregnancy, nursing, and the month of Ramadan. Now, Sister Fatima, you know, how should, this is just a very important question that many, unfortunately, even though, you know, we are women that are pregnant or breastfeeding are not supposed to fast, but many still fast. Alhamdulillah, there's many that can actually manage to keep their fast. But if one fasts, that is a pregnant woman or a nursing mom, what are some symptoms to be aware of to indicate to her, to the person involved that, you know, your fast should be broken now, or you should stop fasting now, or maybe, you know, take those little gaps in between. That's what normally most of the women do. You know, they would take those few gaps, fast for a few days, take a few gaps, things like that. So, you know, but now if you are fasting, must you wait for all these symptoms? But what are all those symptoms?
The thing, as you said, was it will be it's a good idea to have a gap between, you know, fast for 2 days and fast, you know, fast for 2 days, skip a day and see how you feel, or fast for 2 days, skip 2 days, fast, depending entirely on yourself, or 3 days, 3 days no fasting, 3 days. But it depends on how you feel. For the pregnant mother, she should rest a lot. If you want to fast, I mean, take into consideration how your body needs. You know your body needs. When do you feel hungry? Why do you feel hungry? Is it because you overworked, so you come down with that? Try and ease your working pattern. Rest a lot. In the afternoon especially, take a rest. You know, a little nap between, before you start cooking again, where you're going to be very busy again. Worries. Try and eliminate problems. You know, we women tend to worry for very, you know, we worry for a lot of things that are not important. So try and ease yourself from any tension for anything. Tension for the pregnancy as well, because if you're going to worry about your pregnancy, you're going to have a problem. You know what? You know, when you think of something, it happens. If you think of, I may lose my baby, you're going to have problems, I guess. So ease your mind, be at rest, take your tablets. Look, supplements are very good. Supplements, actually, they give you what you are supposed to have and you haven't taken. The supplements covers that. So your supplements are the vitamin tablets that you take, your calciums, your normal multivitamins, water, milk, all those things. Okay. So but if you feel well with that, you continue with it. But if you feel that you can't do it, then of course then you break between 3 days on, 3 days off, 2 days, 2 days, like that.
Okay, so when should you actually break your roza? What would make you feel like, you know, I'm not feeling too good, I should actually break my fast right now?
You know, if to prevent that, to prevent your fasting, you must know your body. Know what your likes and dislikes are. And especially seri time, have very nourishing foods. You know, your cereals, that is going to keep you full. Cereal, your milk, your fruit, your supplementaries, like your tablets and things like that. But during the daytime, if anything happens to you,
like what?
Like a fall. You know, if you have to slip and fall, or you feel dizziness is the one that does that. If you feel uncomfortable, and you feel that you, there's something, you know, that you're not feeling too well, nausea, extreme nausea, pain in the abdomen, and accidents. If that happens to you, and then of course you have to. But before that happens, you must know yourself. Like we said, give yourself a break.
So you shouldn't allow yourself.
Don't allow yourself to come to that point.
I think that's,
you know, don't allow yourself to come to that point, because of, you know, in our minds is when we fall pregnant, is we mustn't lose our Ramzan because we have to pay back afterwards, and to pay back, you're paying back alone. So it is a bit difficult. It's mind over matter there. It really is. that you have to pay back a loan. So we don't think about the thing. Think about yourself being a comfortable, happy mother. Think about the happy baby you're going to have, and you know, a normal, healthy baby. That's what we want.
So basically, it's just that you should make sure that you have good nutrition.
Eat well.
Eat city time, eat well. And obviously, iftar time also, you have the whole night, but it doesn't mean you have to eat the whole night, though. But you can, eat what is necessary. And I think lots of
what
liquid.
What is necessary. Drink. What is necessary for you and the baby. Because if you don't, during the fast, how do you know that baby is not comfortable? They actually move more often than they should. They are a bit uncomfortable. And then the growth of the baby won't be that good as well. So if those things happen to you, then this is now really the time that not to fast. That is one sign for the baby's sake, not to fast.
Actually, we would have loved to continue with this program, but unfortunately, it's almost time for us to break. But pregnant and breastfeeding mothers should be sure to get plenty of rest, I know. Taking a nap in the afternoon, they say, is a great way to recharge mom's batteries. Those errands and housework, anything that might zap your energy should be done earlier in the day when you have more energy. And towards the end of the day, it may help to relax or do easy activities only. Even on normal days, people tend to feel tired, irritable or hungry at the end of the day. Now, can you imagine, this is even more true when a pregnant or breastfeeding mother is fasting. So it is important for pregnant mums and nursing mums not to feel guilty if they cannot fast. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that right. If you are pregnant or if you are nursing and you are not able to fast, then don't fast. And you should not feel guilty that you cannot fast. The health of your unborn baby, the mother, of course, and the breastfeeding baby should not be compromised in any way. Remember, every person's body and health is different. However, it is important to keep your qaza fast. Don't forget. Yes. Once all of this is over, you should keep your qaza fast as soon as possible, preferably before the next Ramadan. But please, respected listeners, if you do have any questions or concerns, please contact your alim or alima for further information. Well, listeners, jazakallah khair firstly to Sister Fatima for coming in to do this program with us, and jazakallah khair for listening. That's it then from us. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.